WPF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Kaiser Permanente workers in several states in Washington, D.C. have walked off the job, demanding better pay and staffing levels. CBS's Joe Lynn Kent in Los Angeles.
One worker who's been here for 23 years said that she feels like she's herding cattle in and pushing them out when it comes to patients, and she wants to be able to provide more care per person, and that includes increasing not only wages, but also increasing the type of time and working conditions that they have here.
In the actor's strike, SAG-AFTRA and the AMPTP have finished a full day of bargaining and say the negotiations will continue on Friday. New student debt relief is announced by the White House. President Biden says it provides $9 billion in relief for an additional 125,000 borrowers. It's one of a series of programs administered through the Department of Education.
This kind of relief is life-changing for individuals and their families, but it's good for our economy as a whole as well. By freeing millions of Americans from the crushing burden of student debt, it means they can go and get their lives in order.
After House lawmakers kick Kevin McCarthy out of the speaker position, they can't do any business on the floor until a new speaker is elected. Two congressmen, Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan, say they're running for the spot. CBS's Skylar Henry reports.
Some Republican voters expressed their frustrations.
It makes me almost ashamed to be a Republican. We had a chance to govern, and we decided, oh, we don't want to do that. We'd rather have chaos and disruption.
And paralysis until Republicans in the House can find a speaker that most can support. Skylar Henry, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
It may have jolted you out of your seat if you got today's alert on your phone or radio today. CBS's Matt Piper on the reason the government does
it. Emergency alert messages that made up the test were divided into two groups, the emergency alert system for radios and TVs and the wireless emergency alerts for cell phones, although both happened at once. Since 2015, FEMA has required under federal law to test the system at least once every 3 years.
It's getting easier for women in the San Francisco Bay Area to get mammograms. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
Inside the mobile mammography vehicle, women like Fazia Seagar's mother can get breast cancer screenings for free.
Actually, it's really important, so I'm glad we're here and we're having it done.
This has been a real godsend for us.
Nurse practitioner Mary Rudolph says most of their clients don't have health insurance.
In a first for the Biden administration, it's waiving 26 federal laws to allow border wall construction in South Texas. The waived laws will allow the construction of up to 20 miles of border barriers. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Excellent. The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs. They're a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs. That's
so
like
do
one,
I. That's
the one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude. I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
That's GreatWallyDina.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
The indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are, Robert, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, you know, I was just running down the stairs here at the studio. We're at the mothership here of AM 950, and upstairs is the bathroom. And I've had too much caffeine today, so this is going to be a really fast show, I feel like. But we have a couple guests on. We should, first, before we get going here, we have an update from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin. We love everything about them except their football team. So let's take a quick listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Folks, expanding access to high-speed internet across Wisconsin has been a top priority for my administration since day one. And we're proud that no administration in state history has done more to expand access to high-speed internet than we have. Since 2019, we've allocated more than $340 million to ensure more than 395,000 homes and businesses will have new or improved, reliable, high-speed internet. And now, thanks to a more than $1 billion investment through the Federal Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program, we'll be able to keep building on our progress and getting folks connected and closing the digital divide in every corner of the state. Having access to reliable high-speed internet is a necessity for how we do work, how we learn, and how we see our doctors, how we stay connected to our communities, and so much more. Unfortunately, Republicans rejected my plan to invest $750 million into expanding access to high-speed internet and provided zero new state dollars to get every home and business in Wisconsin connected to high-speed internet. And while the federal funding will help bolster our efforts, we still have much more work to do to close the digital divide in our state. With a historic state surplus available, this should be a priority because the longer it takes to get everybody connected, the more costly it will be for a state to catch up. We're going to keep working to make sure high-speed internet is accessible and affordable for our kids to learn, our families to get connected to the resources like healthcare, and for employers and workers to keep our economy growing. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Governor of the great state of Wisconsin. We are now live on Facebook and YouTube. We had the had it muted there a little bit, Haley, but we got a couple of great guests on that we've had on before, and we're really excited to hear about what they're doing and what kind of opportunities are out there. And so I would really love if you guys could introduce yourself and talk to our audience out there in the great, where are we here, the Midwest.
Hello, my name is Wabin Smith. I am the co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group at the Department of Transportation, and I am an enrolled White Earth member and Navajo.
Wow, right in
from
right,
St. Paul.
Hey, St. Paul, the capital city. We love the capital city here, even though we're out in the suburbs of Prairie Island. I am from St. Paul, so welcome, Wabin.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us. I am Ian Walking Elk. I'm also a member of MnDOT's Indigenous ERG, and I'm an enrolled Crow Creek Dakota, but I'm also Hopi and Southern Sitsis and Hinonai.
Welcome, you two. And there's so many opportunities. We're going to be talking a little bit about MnDOT, and we've been running ads, and it's exciting what we have out there for our Native community and everybody listening, too. There's work out there to be done, and what a beautiful way to have a career that you could be with for most of your life. And I know that's important in a lot of different ways. Wabin, what do we got out there? How can our people listening reach out to you, and what kind of job opportunities are out there that would be awesome for us?
So, you know, as you said, we do have we've been running some news ads, some ads. I did have a recording with an ad, and I did place a number out there for the people. You can go to our career website on MnDOT.gov. careers, and we'll have a list of our open positions along with Lena Garcia's phone number. I believe I said that on the ad. I'm not quite sure. I didn't get the okay with her to give out her phone number on this.
Cool.
On this interview. Sorry.
No problem, Wabin. Can we talk just a little bit before we get going too deep into this? Is like, how important is this to have representation here in the state of Minnesota with these job opportunities? I think it's kind of groundbreaking what you two are doing here statewide.
Yes, we are working to establish here at MnDOT as an employer of choice for the Indigenous populations. We try to provide a platform for the community-based educational programming guidance and a space for employees to share ideas in support of MnDOT's vision and their, you know, the processes of the Indigenous employees that work within MnDOT and within our employee resource group.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to get our other guest in here too. How important do you feel like it is where we have representation here? And I think it's really important, and it's really cool to see you you younger warrior women here leading the way in MnDOT in many different ways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's nice to hear being called a younger warrior, but it's really important. And I think we talk, and, you know, to use like some of the buzzwords in our community, we talk a lot about resiliency and we talk a lot about inclusion. And this is one way, I guess, this is one way we're doing it, you know, where I look at it like whatever we do that talk about burdens and things that happened before us, whatever we do to make things easier for that next generation and us being here. And sometimes, yeah, we have to get put on the spot and we have to carry that load of teaching people about ourselves, even though sometimes we just want to be. But we're here to do that. We've put ourselves out there for that. And I guess personally for me, I have daughters, I have a son, and I want them to go to work one day and not have to focus on being so resilient and not call certain places the belly of the beast. Hmm. I want them to go to work and just get to be. So it's really important for us to be there.
Right. And I think, too, the other side of that, too, is that it's really important that you're there to help us maneuver through the system, too. Because, again, a lot of times we talk about systems that aren't made for us. And so whether it's birth certificates, applying correctly, you help with those things, too, right?
We try. You're muted, Robin.
Sorry about that. We try to give them resources. So we do, you know, we do our community outreach. We do, I don't know if you've seen our faces within the community, like during certain open houses, our community events, we try to make a presence there, and we do try to get resources for employees that do come to MnDOT as employees and join our resource group. We try to give them resources as much as possible. So.
Yeah, that's exciting. Can you guys hold on? I think we're kind of just getting into the tip of the iceberg here, and we want to really have you speak your truth. And what I want to do is I want to basically turn the show over to you and have you talk about what you want to talk about. I think that's important, and it's always really important for our community to be able to speak and not have me directed in a way. So when we come back, I'd like you guys to speak your truth and really give a good synopsis and overview of what we're looking for and what you guys are looking for, if you wouldn't mind. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Be a vaccinative. As the fall season continues, new COVID-19 variants threaten the health of not just you, but our elders as well. These new variants might even evade previous vaccines. That's why it's important to stay up to date. The newly authorized vaccines target current variants effectively and are FDA approved for ages 6 months and older. But there is an important note. These are the first COVID vaccines to be commercialized, which means there may be costs associated with them. Speak with your health insurer about your coverage before scheduling an appointment to avoid a surprise bill. For those without health insurance, help is available. Ask your health clinic about options or visit vaccines.gov for free locations. Getting vaccinated protects you from severe disease. Don't put yourself or elders at risk. So be a vaccinative and protect our community. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hello, Minnesota. This is Tom Hartman, and you can catch me every weekday from 11 to 2 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's smart radio for smart people.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Native-owned, bringing us the best coffee, keeping us awake.
I am awake, and I love that coffee. Remember Steve's blend? Yes. I always say that it gets me, in a good way, fired up.
in a good way.
Yeah. So if I ever have to do any like protesting, or anything like that, I go to Steve's Coffee because it keeps me going. Hey, we got a couple great guests here, and I wanted to ask you before we let you speak your truth and what you want to talk about. I wanted to ask you, each one of you, start with Wobbin. How did you start this journey working with MnDOT, and how's that really progressed over the years, and how'd you hear about your job?
Well, I started with MnDOT when I went to my workforce counselor. I believe she was the same work counselor as Ia, but I got through MnDOT. I started working at MnDOT through a work program. Great program. I was a single mother, obviously working to get off the system. And I was actually selected or picked out by Alicia to apply for the position that they were posted because of my skills, my skill set. So I applied. And, you know, like the normal Native American, Indigenous, First Nation person doesn't really want to be working for the government. I did have a bias, and I was thinking when she was telling me, you should apply for this, you're the perfect person, I believe your skills, you'll do great. I was agreeing with her, but then I was also thinking in the back of my head, like, yeah, I'm not going to get this position. I'll apply, but, you know, I was already in that road of pathway of, like, just already being, you know, denied things, certain things that I want to go after. So when I applied, I got the interview. I did the interview, and I was, you know, given the position. I accepted it, and I was kind of iffy about it, but getting into the position and finding out how actually it works, it kind of changed my mindset. So I started back in 2011, 2012 in the Office of Finance as an administrative assistant. So from there it took off, and it's been challenging to work all these years with different people, different supervisors, different leaders. And it really is very reflective of who you are, how you were raised, and what direction you're going to take your life. That's how it worked out for me. So,
well, that's awesome. And you've been there for over 12 years, and that says a lot right there. Ms. Walking Elk, how did you start?
I have a similar story to Wobbin's. I was living in St. Paul at the time. It was probably 20, and I was trying to work my way. I was a single mom. I had a new baby, and I worked with Alicia Smith at the American Indian Family Center and Jenny Thompson, some really amazing Native ladies, and Barb Fairbanks. They're all amazing at what they do, and they really, really do want people to be better. And it came across similar to Wobbin's story. It was a temporary position, like a foot in the door, if you will, is kind of how it was sold to me. I got all excited. I got all fixed up. I got did my job interview. Didn't get the job. So I was just, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, that was cool. Now I'm kind of, it was better prepared, I guess, for more job interviews. And as I like to call it luck, but maybe fate would have it, the person actually ended up withdrawing from the position. Mm-hmm. So they ended up asking me to take it. I got in there temporarily on a 3-month contract at the Department of Human Services. Got to know a lot of people, helping with all anything. They had a backlog of things I was working on. And I met other people who said, hey, there's a position at DOT. Are you interested? And I truthfully didn't know what I was interested at the time, but I knew I wanted to work and learn. Mm-hmm. So I accepted. It was another temporary position, but it was a foot in the door. And that was over 12 years ago.
Wow.
So kind of bounced around a little bit with different positions. I worked as an executive assistant to the state engineer. He soon realized I wasn't the best assistant. Just kidding. He helped. I moved within my office, so I worked as an extraordinary enforcement coordinator, basically hiring highway patrol and work zones. And then I went back to school for a little while, and now I'm a discrimination investigator. And I've been here for about 5 years. So it impacted my path, but it also, like, it gave me new pathways, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. to apply my skills and my knowledge. But that same conflict, I think it's a really important what Wobbin brought up, is that like we didn't grow up thinking, well, one day I'm going to work for the Department of Transportation. You know, we actually didn't probably think much at all about the Department of Transportation, or transportation for that matter, unless it was like going to a powwow or something. But we, it's like a really big place. There's so much more depth to it, mm-hmm. like with anything else. But yeah, so it's clearly we're doing okay there. We've both been there for quite some time.
Right. Yeah, you have. And I want to, can I correct you? I think you had your moccasin in the door, not the foot in the door. Ho-wa.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. My humpa in the door.
Ho-wa. Well, yeah, both of you have been there a long time. And what kind of advice could you give somebody that's wanting to apply? Because it seems like your expectations were maybe a little vague, and then you just followed your nose into different kind of opportunities that MnDOT gave you.
Mm-hmm. It's very rough. You have to have some tough skin. You can't take things personally, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people that will challenge you and test your patience and just like push your buttons, because it seems like that's all they seem to do when I started. And it was like, I'm not going to allow these people to run me off when I'm trying to make a better life for myself, not only for myself, but the future, life beyond mine, my legacy, leave my legacy.
Yeah.
And good. Yeah. So it is very challenging. It does comes with its ups and downs. You do have to have thick skin. You can't take everything personally, and you just got to keep in mind that you're applying and you're doing the job or career for yourself and your future.
Right. But once you got your position, then you have more, I don't know if control's the right word, but you have more capacity to do a good job and find your own path.
Yes.
And that's really cool. Could you tell us a little bit about your job, Ms. Walking Elk? Because your title sounds pretty interesting there, and I imagine at times you're very busy.
Yeah, we've had some, if you can imagine over the past 5 years, we've had some busy times, or over the past couple of administrations.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's interesting work. So what we do is, we do have an EEO function, and just, I'm not speaking like on behalf of my office, but just about my position. But we have like an equal opportunity EEOC type of function, where most of our team is federally trained EEOC investigators. So we handle any internal employment investigations or issues that come up that are related to discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think I would end up in this field, but it is pretty interesting to, I grew up in Pipestone, Minnesota, most of my life, and like a big chunk of my life in the cities. But I consider Pipestone, Minnesota, my home. And And Pipestone is, there's a lot of cultural happenings and things going on there that can make you feel like it's like literally like they have a painting there that says the crossroads of the Indian world. And it can make you feel like that. And like you look around with a sense of identity and belonging. But like Wobbin said, working here, although I love my job and the challenges that come with it, it can test you sometimes when you're a Native person who's very like, you know who you are and you know where you come from and you see what's going on with state governments and things like that. But also to kind of piggyback on that a little bit more, but there are things we can do, like check discrimination and bad behaviors and things like that and try to correct them and change them. And am I changing the world? No, but I feel like I'm affecting some positivity here for people who need to have a good experience at work.
Well, yeah, and you are changing the world. I've always told brand new teachers when I was teaching in high school that you're going to change somebody's life. You just might not ever know whose life you're changing. So I believe when you're advocating for, especially for Natives, you are changing people's lives and people's perspective too, because I feel like a lot of the old guard is leaving. And I just spoke at the University of Minnesota today, and these young ones are pretty hip and they want to learn about, you know, the atrocities that happened to us over the last 500 years because it's not being taught in school.
That's true too. And I think that the IERG itself, it does give natives like a home base at work. And even if you're up north or in Pipestone or somewhere like that, you can reach out. And there's so many natives that have worked here for so long and we didn't even know that they were there. There's so many different offices. And
looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Tens of thousands of Kaiser Permanente employees are on strike in multiple states, saying they're underpaid and overworked. In Sacramento, California.
I'm a medical assistant. I've been with Kaiser 27 years. 22 of those years, I worked in a department by myself with five doctors, short staff. And I've been doing that to this day.
President Biden says the latest stage of his student loan debt relief program provides billions of dollars in relief for an additional 125,000 borrowers.
With the latest debt cancellation in total, my administration has canceled $127 billion in student debts for nearly 3.6 million Americans.
The U.S. House is without a speaker after ousting Kevin McCarthy. It cannot get business done, and no election is scheduled yet. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
It's not just that the clock's ticking, and it is. 43 days to the deadline for a shutdown. But the next speaker may come in with a mandate not to cut deals with Democrats to avert shutdowns or other calamities. Quite a concern here.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Order takeout by calling 952-927-4439 or view the menu at greatwallydina.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are
Medusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And later on in the show, we're going to have Dr. Stately on to check in for a quick segment. But we are here with two young warriors, because I said that, you know, because I'm old, I'm a baby elder, so I have to say young warriors that are working for MnDOT and have over a period of time, and also you sound like you've paved the way in a good way and made room for more Native Americans to work for MnDOT, and so I'm excited to hear some more things here. Wabin, what do we have for job openings? Are we is it a plethora of many things, or is it just get on that website and see what you like?
Yes, there's many open positions, like different positions. You know, when you think of MnDOT, you think of plow trucks, obviously.
Right.
A wide range of everything. So we got, like, you know, business development coordinator, electrician, master of records. And these are throughout the whole state of Minnesota. So it's not only here in the central, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul vicinity, it's throughout the entire state. So it's as far as like Wilmer or Roseville, and out of our districts, Fergus Falls, we have transportation specialists and transportation generalists. We also have like audit and investigation supervisors and administrative assistants. We also do like student workers as well, civil rights, construction inspectors, assistant mechanic shop supervisors. So there is a whole lot of open positions. You would just have to go on our website. And then once again, that is mn.gov/careers. And it's open search for positions, open positions. And it's that link will take you to the state agency website. So it's not only MnDOT. It's all state agencies throughout the state of Minnesota. But you can choose Department of Transportation, and it will give you a list of open positions that we have here at the Department of Transportation. And then there's also a lot of other open positions within the other different state agencies. You know, you could be like a general labor worker that works for, you know, the administration building, working on the land and gardens and stuff like that. So.
For a second, when you paused general, I thought, well, I want to be a general. but what's really, in all seriousness, what's really exciting and important, and you too could probably speak of this better, is that a benefit for working for the state, a benefit, there's many benefits, whether it's retirement, whether it's health care, whether it's paid vacation, those things that... And then it also sounds like, too, that there's movement within, too. You don't have to be stuck with a certain job, and you can apply in other departments.
Yes, there is a lot of benefits. There's, you know, not like you said, not only your pension, you get your benefits. You also have the option of saving outside of your pension. Hmm. There's another also benefit that you are a union worker. Mm-hmm. I'm in AFSCME, and I get to go to college because the union pays for my college. So there's another benefit. So there's a lot of benefits, health benefits, everything.
That's so huge. And I want to get back to Ms. Walking Elk here. And that is really interesting. I forgot that you were union, and I'm a former union person, too, as a high school teacher. That's so important for bargaining and all those things to stay within a living wage and also health care. How important is the union to you?
Very. And not just because of my philosophies on work and the history of unions in this country, but I also have a daughter with special needs, and she was born with a very rare health condition. And I will say, when times got tough, like, it was really nice to have those benefits for my daughter. It's nice to have a long-term employment to utilize things like FMLA to take care of her, to take care of my family. And then the state of Minnesota also offers paid parental leave, and that's for any parent. That's for adoption. You know, so dads now are allowed to take time off with their new baby. Families that adopt are allowed to take time off and be paid for it, not have that come out of their bank, their personal bank. So there's definitely a lot of benefits with, especially with COVID. And now we're recognizing like we're in a new work environment. We've had to evolve, and MnDOT's evolved right along with other employers. And that flexibility allows for a lot for your family. You know, if you have little ones, if you have grandkids, and we're natives, we're all about family.
Yeah.
You know, like family, community gatherings. And that's one thing we've tried to integrate in our group is those, not just those like fringe benefits and things like that, but also those like those human benefits, like making space, like, come on, let's get together and we're going to go out to eat, but we're going to go out to eat at gatherings. We're not going to go to McDonald's or some Olive Garden or something like that, but bringing that back to the community. So I think that's a, those are all benefits, I would say.
That's really important. And on a funny note, I see you're able to work out of your car. Oh, just kidding.
I had to call Haley before this because I locked myself out of my office.
That's okay.
Is it okay to be in the car? So I locked myself out of my office.
I knew that. I was just making fun because you said since COVID, we're I don't know. I think I'm cracking myself up, but we got to get back serious here. Hey, so what kind of hours do you work? I mean, and is it a 9-to-5 job or is there various hours? Is there opportunities? I think you mentioned students can, there's certain jobs for students too, and they have jobs during the week or maybe the summer, or can you tell a little bit about that?
I think that very depends on your supervisor, but most likely it's, you know, 8-to-5, the normal 9-to-5, like you said, 9-to-5. We got people that come in from 6 o'clock that leaves at 2. We got the students that come in throughout the year, you know, it works with their schedule, depending on what their schedule is. I work, you know, 8:30 to 5, you know, and I do have flexibility if I have to take some time off during the day for my kids. I could take time off and then make it up. Other than that, our utilized vacation or sick time. But it's really up to the supervisor. So it's basically is 9-to-5, 8-to-5. But for the plow truck drivers, I believe they have a completely different schedule.
Sure.
You know, it's interesting, too. I'm just feeling this way about our interview and speaking today. I feel like it's a lot of, you know, we're still here kind of things and opportunities for our people to take advantage of these things that maybe weren't, as you said earlier, were made for us or were welcoming for us. And now it's more welcoming. And with, you know, glass ceiling, people like you breaking the glass ceiling and having more representation of natives in this kind of really opportunity, you know, it's a game changer for people, whether it's medical or just long term.
It definitely is. And I like shout out to the natives who worked here before us, because there were few of them and they had to be so tough to hang in there, you know, just for the simple fact that there was only a handful of them, and never mind all the other you know, forces
right,
that make work challenging, especially for a government. But yeah, there was some older natives who were getting ready to retire when our group formed, and one of them was from Red Lake, and her name was Karen Badu, and she sat us down and she said, "Don't quit. You know, they're gonna make you want to quit. They're gonna make you want to leave, and you hang in there." And man, I think we all carry those words with us, because she read our minds. There were times when it gets tough anywhere, but when you're native people, there's just a unique, isolation can feel really different for native people. It's like another level, not to discount anyone else's experience. But I think that those older ones, they paved the way, and
yes,
we appreciate them so much.
Wow, that's a really, really good point. Wabin, what are your thoughts on that, too? I imagine they're very, very similar.
I'm 100% with Ia. Like she said, when our group first started, they sat us down and they told us strictly what, you know, that they thought it was a good idea, that we were coming up and we were taking over and not to quit. And it is, it's very, just recently, oh my God, this past year, just a whole bunch of challenges came upon, you know, my life. So I'm very glad I work in an organization that is very, I'm not going to say very understanding, but I do like my supervisor. I do like my unit. I do like how flexible I can have my schedule, and I like the benefits and what MnDOT or the state agency provides for a single mother like myself, to continue on doing what I'm doing to get to where I need to be for the future of my kids and continue on with them.
Well, Wobbin, I think they become more understanding when you have a union backing you up, and I think they have to be understanding. So there's a lot to that too. It's I really agree. And again, being a baby elder, you guys are young warriors leading the way here and doing it in a good way. And I really, really appreciate you two stopping in. And we have to do this more often because your stories are compelling. And I want to see what Miss Walking Elk's office looks like next time, too. Ho, just kidding.
I know. That's what I get. This is what I get. Because just earlier, I was putting up my big lacrosse poster. So that could be in the background because I just love lacrosse. And now you guys are looking at the headset and my son's car seat. So.
Well, I want to thank you two really so much for stopping in and your compelling story, which really, I've said that just again, but it's really, I didn't expect this in this interview, and there's a lot of good things that not only the state's doing, but the union backing the state workers and you guys leading the way. So that's get you back on the show again real soon.
Definitely. We will most likely be grateful to come back. So
most likely, yeah. I like that. That's really, you're really committed to coming back, but I see what you mean. Hey, thank you so much, Peeny Geegee. Really, it's been my pleasure. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Dr. Stately. Ho-wah.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wobbin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers, or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Good one, Dr. Stately. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic, and I got to pause there because sometimes I mess that up. Good howling, and I just talked to Bobby Wilson, and he'll be on the show next week. Maybe we should get you on there with him.
Oh, nice. I love that.
And we can have a swear fest because Bobby likes to swear.
Oh.
Well, we can beep it out, you know?
My favorite, yeah. My favorite. Did you like that howl? I even gave you, like, the little... Ojibwe.
Snarl.
The lip curl.
Snarl, definitely. Wow. Well, so we come out, we're here in Eden Prairie, and we're like, I guess, just 5 minutes from your home that we've never been invited to.
Well, 5 minutes if you drive fast like I do. It's probably more like 15.
Well, I've just experienced my Chujunk's driving because she drove today, and it would have took us 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Pray for me on the way home.
Yeah.
I'm not bad.
Did you put up the quotes? I will.
Yeah. Well, I want to give a shout out. As Robert said, we were at the U of M earlier today, and I just want to give a big shout out to Dr. Diane Cormany, professor of journalism and communications at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus. Big Pinagigi for inviting us out to speak with your class today. I know Robert and I, we had a great time being back at our old stomping grounds, both being
Gophers.
Graduates, yes.
Go Gophers.
And I work with a lot of people from Wisconsin, so I get to say Go Gophers.
Oh, that's awesome. Sounds like a lovely day. I don't know if you knew this, but I was a journalism major when I was at McAllister.
That's right.
College.
That's right.
Way back in the day when you still typed your news articles on typewriters.
Do you remember the paper that you could sniff with the ink?
Yeah.
What was that called?
Mimeograph.
Rolling?
Yeah. So you like printed your newspapers like this.
Yeah. And they were all blue.
Yeah, that's how I got my buff arms when I was really young.
Oh, geez, that's how I started sniffing glue. But that's another show, isn't it? That'll be our chemical dependency
that we do. Like the beginnings of your chemical dependency.
Right.
Your research and development career.
Right. Well, Dr. Stately, it's interesting we got you on here for the last part of the show. And are there any updates happening here? I guess a COVID update of some sort?
Well, a couple community updates are really critical. We're having the full moon ceremony here. I think it's tonight.
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow, Friday. September 29th at 7.
Yep. So NAC sponsors a full moon ceremony every single month. Our honor around the full moon. Actually, this full moon is actually the last... not the blue moon, but the super moon. And they said that it'll be possibly so cloudy that you won't be able to see it. And I think it's actually tonight, but our ceremony's tomorrow. And hopefully there'll be clear skies and it'll be warmer, so you'll be able to see that big, huge moon. It's supposed to be significantly larger. And then, but we do that every single month. That's the ceremony that we sponsor for Native women in and around the Twin Cities who, you know, just want to kind of be in a space and get some healing around their reproductive and some lessons and some learnings as well, some teachings, our traditional teachings around, you know, taking care of your women health.
You know, speaking at the U, and we were talking about some generational stuff, and I was all really excited because I really feel like Gen Z is going to save us in many different ways because our families have been drugged through things like residential schools, and all these bad things have happened. And so generations, a couple generations, we've lost our language. We've lost a lot of things. But I feel really strong about now and moving forward and things that you're doing and that our Gen Z people are really open to.
Yeah, a lot of our young people today are really focusing their efforts on, you know, learning their language, recovering their knowledge and their ancestral knowledge, the wisdom of our elders. They're really taking a lot of intentional approach to that. I think that's going to really help our community heal from some of these historical losses. One of the things that I think was most fundamentally and just made a big, huge impact on me, I was talking about historical trauma one day, and we were on a workshop, myself and my nephew Ruben was on it as well. And he said, he made this comment. He said, you know, and we talk a lot about the Dakota War. We talk about all these things that have happened that impacted us traumatically in our history. He said, and I want to just remind everybody, like, yes, we have trauma in our DNA that we pass down, but we also have strength and resilience. He goes, and one of the things that was thought that was really profound about his comment, he said, you know, the U.S. Dakota War and all the things that happened to us as a result of that is such a small amount of time that we've been on this planet. Mm. Like, we have, as Dakota people, we've been here for 10, 12, 14,000 years. So 100 years of that time is very, very small. Right. So let's not try to forget that. Let's try to remember, you know, the strength and the beauty and the resilience we carry with our ancestors as well. And we carry that into the generations today and not forward for the next seven. And we can pull ourselves out of these things.
Yeah, really good point, too. And I want to remind too, and I talked a little bit about to the students, too, is that everyone's been colonized. You know, at one time, you know, Irish people believed in earth and sky, just like natives, but we're like the last holdouts in the resilient part, too. But everyone has to remember that they came from a lot of the same teachings that Native Americans have, but have lost it through colonization and war or whatever.
Yeah. Well, indigenous people all over the planet have, you know, been colonized, a lot of them. A lot of them have, many of the people who say it, like, I'm a white person or I'm white people or I'm American, right? Mm-hmm. The process and the intent of colonization is to strip you of your history and your knowledge about who you were and who you came from and where you came from and that relationship to, like, place, land, your community, your people, your nationhood, your history, your ancestors. It's intended to make you think, like, forget about all that. What's important is this thing, this shiny new thing I'm putting in front of you right now.
Wow, right? Really good point. And I've read that, I don't even know if it was the 1910s or even later in the 40s, that there was not a white group of people. They were Italians, Irish. And then all of a sudden, they globbed them into one race, as you're kind of saying, and then it's us against them, as opposed to like-minded thinking people of different communities. So it's been intentional.
Yeah, there's a there's a really great book by, I think her name is Nell Painter, called The History of White People. Mm-hmm. It's a great book to read to understand the historical context, the intention. Race is a social construct. It isn't even based in genetics or anything. And so it was based in eugenics, and it was based in the intentional idea that there's a supreme race and there's less supreme races. And then so that's a lot of what got embedded in the doctrines of discovery and the manifest destiny and those things. The idea that, like, you know, there's a supreme race, an Aryan race that deserves supremacy and kind of controls the earth and all of its bounty, right? So,
right. Well, we got 1 minute left here. Dr. Stately, really appreciate you driving all the way out here. And we have a show coming up here that will be played this weekend, and you're a big part of it, and we're excited to have you here tonight to record that. And to everyone out there, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.